chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll read beginning with the 14th verse. 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The day in which we live, they call the communication age. Sometimes I wonder about that, because you pick up the phone and they say if you have a touch phone, push 1, 2, 3, 4, and after a while you get somebody at the end of the line that's listening to you. But up until that, all you hear is a recording. It's a marvelous thing that we have the most wonderful communication system in the universe. Doesn't make any difference where you are. Doesn't make any difference what time of night it is or day. God hears the cry of every living thing. Language is no difficulty to Him. I heard of a preacher years ago, and in his prayer he said, "Lord, you know what it says in the Greek here." Well, the Lord has a pretty good idea of what it says in the Greek. It may be Greek to us, but any language we speak in is not Greek to Him. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have the privilege of coming to God in prayer. I heard about a fellow said he wanted to get a divorce from his wife. They asked him why he wanted a divorce. He said, "Well, that woman just drives me up the wall. She asked me money for this, and she asked me for money for that, she asked me for money for the other." "So what does she do with all the money?" He said, "Well, I haven't given her any yet." But God is not like that. In fact, the scripture says God has only one answer to prayer. And that's yes. That's what this scripture says. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that you've asked, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I've got a little thing that sits on my desk, and it says, "The answer is no." And so often when we go to people with our problems and our concerns, we find that nobody's able to help us. But we can come to the Lord with a confidence that He knows and He cares. I think I mislabeled this outline of mine, the purpose of prayer. It says in a word, it's communication. Well, in the word, it is not communication. The purpose of prayer is not communication at all. That's just the means to an end. We pray. We pray in the confidence that He hears us. He not only hears us, He answers our prayers. Now, that's a simple recipe, of course. Communication, we have to tell Him. Of course, He knows what we're going to ask before we ask. That's what the Lord says. "Your Father knoweth what things you have need of, therefore pray." That just seems, well, what do you need to tell Him if He already knows? But it says, because He knows, we're to pray. He wants to hear us express it. And the wonderful thing is that, as I said, He guarantees the answer is yes. And all that we have to do is a simple thing. Is it bad? Sometimes we ask people for help and they don't give us any help at all. But the Lord said in a simple acrostic in the English language, ASK. You know what that spells? That spells ask. He says, ask, and you may receive. You remember that scripture? Ask and you may receive. That's a famous scripture. That's not what he says. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For some of the people that ask, receive. You remember that text? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Well, he said, even you fellows, you know how to give good gifts to your children if they ask. Said, you know, I'd like a piece of bread. You don't give them a stone. If he wants to ask for fish, you don't give them a snake. He says, if you rascals, he didn't put it that way, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more sure your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Do you want power in your life? Well, it says just ask. Ask and ye shall receive. Well, the Lord wants us to keep in touch, doesn't he? And the means that we have of keeping in touch with him is just by asking. And wherever we turn in the Bible, we read over and over again the same story. And when we ask, we receive. We read, for instance, the Epistle of Hebrews, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And someone has translated that, in the nick of time. Just when I need it most. No time for a long prayer meeting. Here you're Peter, and you're walking in the water, and you begin to think, Lord, you know what difficult I'm in now? It'd be nice to have some help. None of that kind of business. Lord, save me. Get right down to brass tacks. Don't beat around the bush. The Lord loves us to be direct in our prayers. And sometimes we can pray very long prayers, as our brother was reminding us, in public, and we don't pray long prayers in private. When thou hast entered into thy closet, shut to the door, and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God has all eternity to listen to you and to listen to me as well. Keeping in touch. The one thing that God desires of his people is the thing that characterized the Godhead. You remember the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17 speaks of the glory which I had with thee. Underline those words. With thee before the foundation of the world. You see, there was a fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Spirit, in eternity. And the Scripture says, God has called us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He wants to hear from his children. I love that verse in Ephesians 6. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication for all things. Well, what is the purpose of prayer? Well, to just put it bluntly, the purpose of prayer is to get. That's what it's for. If we ask anything, it says he gives us. So it's to get. The Lord says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And God has the most blessed portion. And it is necessarily that so. So, because we don't have anything, we come empty-handed. We brought nothing to this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And the apostle says, why do you boast as if you got something? The only thing you got that you not receive. And if you've received it, why boast about it? And we just come as suppliants to the supplier. He's the one that's able to meet our needs. And we do the asking, and he does the giving. That's the way it is. That's the way it has to be. The great tragedy is that oftentimes we neglect to ask. And the assurance is always, if we ask, you'll get. If any man lack wisdom, what should I do about this, Lord? What should I do about that? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men. He assures us that if we ask, we'll get. There has never been a person in the history of the universe that has wanted to be saved and told the Lord he wanted to be saved that's ever been refused. He's never turned one down. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till heaven, not till earth shall pass away. He's never turned down a single sinner. And no one will ever be able to say that the reason I'm lost is God didn't want me. Because God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing that any should perish. The apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's no difference. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has yet to turn the first one down. Oh, what a Savior. It's Jesus, the Lord. Well might his name by his saints be adored. He has redeemed them from hell by his blood, saved them forever, and brought them to God. Now in the glory he waits to impart peace to the conscience and joy to the heart, waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sin and their wretchedness feel. Thousands. You could put millions there. Have fled to his spear-piercer side. Welcome they all have been. None are denied. Weary and laden, they all have been blessed. Joyfully now in the Savior, they rest. When we come to God in prayer, we are not laying hold on his unwillingness. We are laying hold on his willingness. Nothing better that God delights to do than to give. If we ask anything according to his will. And that's why we're to not give up. It says in Colossians 4 that we're to continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. We're not only to pray, but we're to look for the answer. Prayer is a conversation. It's a two-way street. And as we talk to God in prayer, and primarily based upon his word, because it says if we ask anything according to his will, and his will is revealed in his word. So in the light of this word, as we pray, God answers our prayer. Have you ever been puzzled over some scripture? You read it and read it and read it and read it, and it just doesn't seem to open up to you, and then you pray. Or maybe you prayed earlier. And then it just opens like a little bud to you. Isn't that what the psalmist says? The psalmist says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold. It's there, but I didn't see it. But that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We know this, that God is not going to bless us in contrary to his word. We hear a good deal today about the promise keepers. You hear that? And I'm not knocking the promise keepers, but I don't have too much confidence in promise keepers, because the scripture tells us about some people that made a promise. They said, Lord, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and they flunked immediately. And what we need to be concerned about is not so much our promises to God, but his promises to us. And all the promises of God in him are yes. Isn't that good? God doesn't say no. They're all positive. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. ask. Prayer is an education because as we pray, oftentimes the answer just comes as a consequence of our prayer. And sometimes God answers yes and we think he says no, but what he's really saying is not no, but wait. He doesn't always answer our prayers just when we pray. Abraham had just come back from the slaughter of the kings. He's victorious. He might have feared for his life because he had just turned down the gift of the king of Sodom. And the Lord appeared to him and said, Abraham, don't be afraid of anything. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. I'm your protector and your provider. Abraham said, forget about that shield business. I want to concentrate on that provider business. Lord, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? 75-year-old man. So they're talking about having a baby. Sarah probably was thought he was off his nut. But anyway, he's 75 years of age and he's asking for a baby. Lord says, Abraham, come out here. Look up at the sky. See those stars? Yes, Lord. So shall thy seed be as the stars of the sky. Boy, what a promise. 25 years later, Isaac was born. He had to wait a long time, but God had already told him yes. We know what intervened in the meantime, you know. Sometimes we get itchy feet, or our wives get itchy feet. But we can wait upon God because what he has promised. It says in Romans 4, Abraham did not consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded of what he had promised. He was able also to perform. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone. Laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Sometimes it's yes and it seems to be no, but that's only the way it seems. But oftentimes it's wait. The wonderful thing is that we know that the scripture teaches that God answers far above our ability to even pray. And we have the Spirit of God that says that we don't know how to pray if we ought to pray. But he makes intercession for us. It's a wonderful thing to, according to the will of God, and what a wonderful thing to know is that even if our prayer life is not what it should be, to all our prayers and praises, Christ adds his sweet perfume, and love the censer raises these odors to consume. You know, we have one that's praying for us. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. And the scripture says he's able to do exceeding abundant of all that we can ask or even think. You know, God recognizes as he looks at our life what we really want. What we really want. And if you're a child of God, you may be a failure in many ways. But if you're really a child of God, you really want to please God with your life. About 4 years, I guess, three years before my dad went to be with the Lord, we were driving out on 826 in Miami, the two of us, and out of a clear blue sky, he said, you know, I grew up in a Christian home in Holland. He left home when he was 17, unsaved. He said, I could see a lot of faults in my father's life and in my mother's life. But he said there was one thing that all of us as children were absolutely convinced of. Our parents were not hypocrites. They really wanted to live for the Lord. And they wanted us to live for the Lord. And then he said, you've seen my life, and you've seen your mother's life. And you've seen failure in your mother, and you've seen more failure in my life. But he said, I trust that that message has shown through. That's a desire, is it not, of every believer? to please the Lord. To walk worthy of the Lord, it says, unto all pleasing. And sometimes what we think is best for our life is not necessarily what the Lord knows is best for our life. Because He knows best. You know, sometimes we see children and the parents absolutely indisciplined. I see kids sometimes and the mother, you know, maybe the kid's about 2 or 3 years old and kicking his mother's leg. You know, he's a little fella. You know, and they don't do anything to correct a little kid. I feel like correcting them, but anyway. But it says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Paul had just made a trip to heaven. He'd come back from there, and boy, he had a tale to tell. Come back from heaven, he could tell what a wonderful place it was, what a wonderful privilege to be there. And I imagine he could have gone around and said, folks, take a look at me. I've just made a trip to heaven. What Paul really wanted to do with his life is to honor the Lord, to please the Lord. And twice over, in one verse, it says this, lest I should be exalted above measure, there was given to me, what a gift, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul thought, well, boy, if I got rid of this thorn in the flesh, I'd really be able to do something with my life for the Lord. The Lord said, no, you'll do more with that thorn in the flesh, Paul. The Lord said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul prayed 3 times. He thought he was praying according to the will of God. 3 times. Get rid of that thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, no, nothing doing. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I will glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, the Lord knows what's best for us. His strength is made perfect in weakness. I love those lines written by Annie Johnson Flint. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He giveth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. How blessed it is we have a giving God. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Oh, the Lord used Satan, but it came from the hand of God. Nothing had ever happened in our lives is apart the permissive will of God, who gives all life and breath and all things. We discover that Father knows best. Prayer is an education. We learn the will of God in praying. And prayer is a declaration. It's a wonderful thing to tell the Lord about it. I must tell Jesus, Sam says, all of my trials. I cannot bear my burdens alone. When John the Baptist was killed, it says his disciples went and told Jesus. So often in our lives, we bring misery upon ourselves because we don't tell the Lord about it. Years ago, there was a young man in England. The day before he was to be married, his sweetheart drowned in a lake.
He moved to Canada, remained a single man the rest of his life, helped in the work of the Lord in the area in which he lived in Ontario. And once when his mother was in very desperate straits, he wrote his mother the lines of the hymn that we often sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have a declaration of our situation. We can bring it to the Lord in prayer. About a year or so ago, I was up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and visiting our brother Bill Hind. He's over 90 years of age, I think about 92 now. His wife is not, she just passed away just a few days ago. And his wife has not spoken a word in 6 years. And I remember one thing he said when we were visiting one day. He said, "You know, God's ways are past finding out. We walk by faith and not by sight. We do not always see the meaning of many things that happen in our lives. His ways are past finding out." And then he said this, "But for those that trust him, he has his peace that passeth all understanding." The scripture says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We ask. It may be just for comfort. We ask. He gives. We're the suppliants. And he is the supplier. He is guaranteed he will answer. The scripture says in Isaiah, "Even the youth shall faint, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Prayer is an expectation. When we pray, we should expect an answer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I remember the story of David, the Old Testament. David is fleeing from Absalom, this rebellious son who brought so much heartache into David's life. The one for whom he prayed, "Deal gently with a young man for my sake," rose up in rebellion against his own father. And David is praying because Absalom has one of the wisest of counselors, and David's counselor as his counselor. And David prays, "O Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And Hushai appears on the scene, and David says, "You go to the palace and you represent me there." He continued in prayer, but he was watching for the answer. He recognized God's answer when it came. Sometimes God answers our prayer, we don't even recognize it, or perhaps we don't even want it. God often answers in unexpected ways. We had how's my time? What is the time? Anyway. Am I supposed to be up now? Okay, all right. Got lost here. God answers often in unexpected ways. We had a missionary years ago down in South Florida. He labored for many years in the Dominican Republic. His name was Ralph Carter. And I think they may have one of his wife's books on there, Marion Carter, called The Miracles of Marion. But he and his wife had left the field, and they went home to Vancouver, British Columbia, because her parents were very, very ill, and she was the only child of the parents, and they felt that she'd leave the field and go back to take care of mother and dad. And he took some secular job, and he was working at night and not making a whole lot of money, just enough to keep things going. And it was getting towards winter. And he realized that on that old car of his, he needed some snow tires very badly. So he started praying, "Lord, need some snow tires, some money for some snow tires." And then they got a letter from the Dominican Republic saying that the refrigerator that they left behind with the folks had been sold for $80. He said, "Just enough for my snow tires." And he mentioned it to his wife, and she said, "No. You know, it's the time of the missionary conference down there. You can't have $80 to buy snow tires. That's going to be over the missionaries down there." And he said he could see the snow tires going flying out the window. And he said, "You know, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed." And I said, "And never an extra dime came in after that." And suddenly, he said, "I realized one day the Lord had answered my prayer. It was the mildest winter that they'd ever had in Vancouver, and didn't need the snow tires. God just turned the snow off." And sometimes God answers our prayers in very unexpected ways. Prayer is expecting the unexpected. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Some years ago, I was up in the Pittsburgh Christian Home, and they've got a library there at one end, and I generally get two or three books and read them in the days that I'm there. And there was a book there by Daniel Fuller, the son of Charles E. Fuller. And in it, he related the story of a widow out in West Texas. She didn't have any money to her name. And she got down on her knees and she prayed to the Lord that the Lord would send her some money so she could be of some help. The old-fashioned revival hour. Some of you will remember the old-fashioned revival hour, Charles E. Fuller. And she got up off her knees, and it was a very windy day out in West Texas, and she saw something fluttering in the breeze. And she decided to go over and see what it was, and it was a dollar bill. She had an envelope, a stamp, and didn't have any paper to write on, but she took an old grocery bag, and she wrote on that she had prayed to the Lord for this, and he sent it. And she sent it on to Mr. Fuller. Dad said when his dad read that letter, he reached into his wallet, and he took a dollar out of his pocket, and he put that in the place of that lady's dollar. And he put her dollar in his pocket. And he said his father told him that he knew of over $50,000 that had been given to the old-fashioned revival heart by that $1 that widow had prayed for. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Sometimes we sell the Lord short. I think H. Ironside sold the Lord short. He was on his way back from the East Coast, had this little boy with him, the baby and his wife, and they had enough money to go as far as Salt Lake City. They ran out of cash. He had enough money for her to go the rest of the way, but not for them both. He told her to go on home. No, she wouldn't hear of it, so they stayed. And in those days, this will give you some idea, he could get by on 40 cents a day. That wouldn't get you far today. 40 cents a day, a man, his wife, 40 cents a day. And he got down on his knees and he said something like this, "Lord," he said, "in your word, that if two or three of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done on my Father's in heaven." Well, my wife and I agree. He says, "We need some money, 40 cents to be exact. If you don't come across with the Lord," he didn't put it exactly this bluntly, "I won't believe your word, because that's what your word says." His wife rebuked him for being so sassy with the Lord. He went out and preached. No assembly there at that time in Salt Lake City. And there was a crowd of 300 or 400 around. And when he got through, he started to walk away. And two young men came up to him.
"Hey, preacher, you forgot something." "What did I forget?" "You forgot to take the offering."
He said, "I don't take an offering when I preach. I just trust the Lord." He said, "Yeah, fine job of trusting him, you're doing. But anyway, I just trust the Lord." He said, "Well, at least you can shake hands." He shook hands with these two young men, and he felt that they had pressed some coins into his hand. Before he could say thank you, they were gone. Reached in his pocket, fished it out. 40 cents. I know he felt like 2 cents then. 40 cents. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we can ask or think. I think it was a man that went to India, William Carey, who said, "Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God." The purpose of prayer is to get. From a human standpoint, but as far as God is concerned, the purpose of prayer is to give. We're not going to remove the Lord out of His place. He's the giver. We're the receivers. And He just delights for us to come and ask. "My God shall supply all your need," not all your greed, but all your need, according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I brought an old poem from me. In fact, it's written in the handwriting of Alfred Gibbs. So this has got to be in my possession, for he died in 1967 for over 30 years. But this is what it says. And he's got a footnote on there that this particular thing was written 100 years ago. "I ask for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for help that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Despite myself, my prayers were answered. I'm among all men most richly blessed." God knows how to say yes, and He delights to give. May God help us to realize the purpose of prayer from our standpoint is to ask. The Lord says, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened." But from God's standpoint, God delights to give. He delights to give life to the sinner. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for Thy precious holy word. It is ever by Thy design to us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It shows us where we are, and it shows us where to go and how to go. We're thankful that we're not been left here in the dark. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."